My name is Dejan Milojičić. I'm a research manager at Hewlett-Packard, as well as an editorial board member of IEEE Internet Computing and IEEE Distributed Systems Online. This is another installment of the Trend Wars interview series. Distributed Systems Online will host the long version and a podcast of the interview, while Internet Computing will publish an excerpt from the interview. Our topic this time around is service management, the dawn of a new software era. The time when applications ran on a small computer somewhere in the corner of the world are long gone. Today, we have services running around the whole Internet. They introduce a lot of opportunities, but also a lot of problems in management. Today, I'm interviewing Alan Ganek, the CTO of IBM and father of autonomic computing. So the first question for you, Alan, is that with more and more technology focused on services, management becomes a dominant factor. How is your company addressing management complexity, and what are the key areas you have been focusing on?
Well, it's absolutely the case that management is becoming a key factor. I mean, independent studies have shown that maintenance and operations are growing at an immense rate in reaction to the scale-up and complexity of services that are deployed and the amount of equipment that they span. IBM service management strategy focused specifically on reducing management complexity. You know, what it's about is delivering information technology to the business as a service rather than as stacks of independent components. At IBM, we're focused on helping our customers tightly integrate people, processes, information, and technology to provide the business service. With IBM service management, we reduce complexity by integrating processes and automated tasks. Even more importantly, we're building what we think of as closed-loop autonomic processes, making the systems observe what is going on, understand how to what it means to the service, make adjustments, and continue. And that happens down in the technological components, as well as closed-loop processes for the role that people have in interacting with the system. So there are many products in the market that perform specific information technology tasks. Our ISM strategy ties those tasks together while also taking into account the business aspects, such as service level agreements, workload management. And because no IT shop is sourced from a single vendor, our endorsement and implementation of open standards helps customers reduce complexity by enabling them to tie together disparate systems.
So, Alan, this is from the perspective of service management providers and service providers. But from the perspective of the customers, what are the three key customer problems that service management needs to address, and especially in the near future? And where do you, to elaborate on this even more, where do you see services evolving? Will they pose new requirements to management in terms of scale, trust, reliability, some other characteristics? What will be the key ones?
Our customers certainly share many of the same tactical and immediate problems. I mean, one of the foremost is aligning information technology and business objectives. Now, traditionally, the IT shop was almost independent of the business goals in many companies, providing some back office operation. But now IT managers are increasingly under pressure to demonstrate how they're delivering value to the business. They need to improve the communications and coordination internally within their shop and externally to their customers. So the sets of activities that could deliver a linkage between the business service offered and the technology is one of the key challenges that we hear customers ask for. Secondly, and what has been happening in just the past couple of years is an enormous focus on governance and compliance and the need to have a foolproof system to track the changes in the environment and understand what happened. It's not enough to react to a situation in today's world. You have to also be able to prove what the decision-making was that led to it and in order to not only meet internal requirements but to meet the increasingly stringent regulatory requirements like Sarbanes-Oxley, Basel II, and other kinds of requirements. And the third one is the age-old problem, which never goes away, which is the challenge of having to do all of this at reduced cost. The good news is I think that our focus at the service management level helps align technology with what our customers' problems are and helping to address them.
Thank you, Alan. There are a lot of technologies mentioned recently and used more or less effectively. For example, virtualization, service-oriented architectures, web services themselves, but also automation, grid, autonomic computing, Web 2.0. Can you distinguish with them which of them are technology enablers for service management and which are only fashionable temporary topics?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and I really believe that all of the technologies you just mentioned are important today and for the future. I think the mistake, though, is to think of them as completely independent. Now, I see them as technological elements that are critical to a larger goal, which is implementing an intelligent, robust, highly automated infrastructure. I think what we're seeing across the board is an abstraction of services to enable greater technology integration and efficiency is fundamental, and it happens at multiple levels. For example, virtualization provides an abstraction layer from the actual hardware that simplifies dynamic workload movement across servers and data replication and storage virtualization as well. With this kind of a capability, the hardware changes to the infrastructure can be made without, you know, interrupting the services, and you separate the relationship of a given service to a given piece of hardware. Service-oriented architecture, web services, are a vehicle to provide a very similar abstraction higher up at the software level and at the application level, so that you can separate the service implementation from the environment that it's running on, and you can make changes in terms of linkage and components in a transparent way. Grid is simply another form of abstraction for a distributed environment, but it leverages the same tools. We made a lot of progress knocking down the independent ways grid was originally approached as compared to SOA, where I find the tools now to be quite similar, and I see them both as, you know, vehicles for distributed computing. At the top of the stack, I think of autonomic computing. All of the abstractions we talked about provide the basis for then adding highly intelligent algorithms to allow for much more self-managing behavior. But in order to work and be effective, it has to have a well-instrumented, virtualized environment that's built upon standard interfaces so that you can easily apply those kinds of intelligent algorithms. And that's what autonomic brings. So all in all, I think all of these areas are important.
Thank you. Now, if you look the layer below web services, is there anything that infrastructure providers, companies like IBM, HP, Sun, and others, can do to make service management better, simpler? For example, if they put a little bit more of platform management in hardware, if they do asset tracking, self-configuration and provisioning, will that enable easier or more complicated service management?
Look, there's no question that infrastructure component providers can help greatly. And there's a number of ways they can do that to facilitate service management. Key aspect of it is simply adhering to the key standards. If we get the components that are delivered from infrastructure providers to adhere to the emerging management standards, they then can plug in a seamless way into the management environment, and then the services can take advantage of them and treat them in a very seamless and transparent way. But, you know, there's a number of things that the field of IT is expanding on that are related to this. You know, one example of this is asset management, which used to be thought of as completely independent of information technology. But the fact is, from a customer standpoint, the issues of absorbing new technology starts when something is ordered and hits the loading dock. You know, other examples closely related to that are dynamic discovery and registration, and infrastructure providers can make that easier by providing interfaces that meet the standards so that fit into that process. So I think as the standards evolve, customers will require that they be supported by infrastructure technology providers so that they can continue to enjoy vendor choice and ensure manageability of their infrastructure.
Now, Alan, do you think that there is a new way how software is developed today beyond SOAs and web services based that can dramatically help improve productivity in software management?
You know, productivity in software management is really about making our customers administrators and operations people more productive. And that's what service management is all about. And this happens at multiple layers to enable it. Standards are a key aspect of it. At the data layer, we're working on standards for a configuration management database federation, which will enable much easier data sharing and transfer between systems. Pulling data from various sources will enable end users much more complete view of the enterprise and the ability to manage it more effectively. Automation is, of course, a key ingredient. You see more out-of-the-box automation and integration between products to help eliminate the need to jump between different products to complete a process. This leads to the next aspect, which is newer, which is really process management. The ability not only to federate the data and automate tasks, but coordinate the interaction among users, who has the and participants in the IT process. Finally, I think that, you know, the next wave of user interface technologies that enable end users to display data from a variety of sources in a dashboard type of format, provide the ability to automate interactions between the underlying systems and access that information in context, are very, very important, you know, key aspect of implementing service management.
Alan, what is the role of people and processes in deploying these new management technologies in the enterprise? How will management solutions from different vendors coexist? How can they cooperate? Where is the human in this automation control loop?
There's a lot of interest in the industry around the standardization of process and the role interactions in order to control IT costs and realize efficiencies. Because the majority of IT outages are due to configuration changes, the role of processes and people are often focused on change configuration management that formalize the analysis, scheduling, and implementation of changes on key IT infrastructure. The configuration management database is a store that federates data from multiple sources, including the management tools. Service management should be implemented in an open architecture that enables and federates management solutions from multiple vendors. In addition, the level of process and task automation should be configurable so that administrators can delegate tasks to automation as they feel appropriate, as well as among other people. The function of the human in the automation control loop should be configurable based on the complexity of the change, the criticality of the affected line of business to the company, and the responsibility structure in that company. Our service management federates management technology from multiple vendors. It uses a portal-based technology to allow for controlled workflows so that humans can be inserted in critical decision-making points along the discussion. So humans are right in the middle of the control loop and in a control point that's defined by that installation. And automation of the technology is really something delegated by humans in that structure. And what we look for is introducing as much automation into the underlying technology under the control of a semi-automated control loop that involves escapes for human control.
So, Alan, what are the related and converging markets and industries that can influence software management? For example, is gaming one of them? What about telecommunications, some others?
Well, there are a number of things converging. There's no question that telecom is probably one of the clearest one that's happening with IP convergence and the so-called triple play of voice, data, and video coming together. Gaming, I believe, is certainly another. And a third might be the asset management world, in which the management of physical assets is starting to merge with the management of IT assets because more and more of the physical assets are, in fact, electronic to some extent. So we see these concepts moving much more into modes of operation. Computer graphics, which many consumers associate with gaming, are becoming more prevalent in commerce sites. You see this in online shopping, where you can have the ability to rotate and the images of products. You see it in the online sites that have auctions, where you actually have consumers competing with each other, and that relates to a gaming type of model with that kind of competition. It's over IP multimedia services are, you know, very good examples. that are of convergence that are going on in the world of telecom. And what that's doing is driving a convergence of independent islands of technology. If you look at the telecom world, traditionally, they had a separate wireline implementation, wireless implementation, and data implementation. And now those things are converging in order to provide an integrated experience.
Now, if you go back to service management and software in general, where do you think this industry is going in the following few years? We've seen tremendous amount of consolidation through mergers and acquisitions. It seems like an emerging theme. Do you think this process will ever be over, or the new companies will continue to pop up and eventually become acquired? And if so, what are the big next trends in the market?
Well, you know, there is a profound shift that's going on in the marketplace all around business process integration and service-oriented architecture. Customers are looking to integrate silos of information and applications that'll serve their business processes rather than to define them. Making companies more innovative and responsive are key benefits of business integration. The integration of the business with IT, not just internally, but with customers and partners as well. I think that the emerging trend that will really, that has started and will continue is, you know, is the cross-pollination of software solutions. I mentioned asset management earlier as a great example of this. I mean, not very long ago, it was something we all considered a completely different business, and now it's quickly becoming integrated into the, you know, set of technologies that are critical to information technology management. I think we'll find that industry software solutions that can be abstracted and reused in new and innovative ways are going to continue to happen.
Alan, do you think that there are any future technology enablers that you see impacting software management that can make it completely disruptively change, that we can change how we manage software and general computer systems today? What do you think is the technology trend?
I think, you know, technology enablers will, on the one hand, challenge our ability to ease management environment, you know, the ability to manage environments, and also will provide capabilities to make it easier. I think both will happen. I think at the physical layer, hardware devices, on the one hand, will more and more provide standard and open interfaces that make them easier to handle, will provide information such as information on power consumption that will allow them to be managed and address new issues. But I also think there'll be a proliferation of hardware devices in scale and type that will challenge the ability to manage them. The mapping of the physical hardware as part of the IT infrastructure management. Instead of mapping applications to middleware, operating systems, and then hardware, we may see an emergence of mapping virtual images to hosting environments. This is the essence of a software appliance that encapsulates a solution and is pre-configured from software components into the virtual image that the customer buys and maintains. I see some of this end-to-end software stack simplification possible through virtualization. So this management of virtualization will be critical. That happens, it becomes a set of tools that we can leverage with autonomic capabilities to build self-managing, self-healing systems. And that instrumentation, the flexibility to deal with different images will ramp up our ability to put more automation in place.
I'm glad that you mentioned standards, and you mentioned them even before, and I realize their importance. There also appears to be consolidation in the standard space. Take, for example, WS management, SML. Are there any other remaining standards that are still required to make better product?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say that the management arena has been slow to get its act together on overall standards, and they are very critical. Without them, enterprises are dotted with islands of interoperability, causing complexity and stagnation of value. Just like the IT infrastructure itself, standards are essential elements of the IT management system, allowing all the building blocks and components that make up service management interoperate. I think a key thing initially is to get some consolidation over some that are overlapping, and I'm happy to report good progress is being made. The Web Services Distributed Management Standard, so-called WSDM, which is supported by IBM, HP, CA, and others, and the WSMAN standard supported by Microsoft and others, are making good progress in reconciliation, and I'm confident we'll get to one usable standard. SML that you mentioned, service modeling language, which is backed by IBM, HP, Microsoft, and seven other top vendors, defines a consistent way to express how computer networks, applications, servers, and other IT resources are described. And finally, and I think one of the ones that may be the toughest conceptually, are policy definitions that will help in the translation of business goals to IT events. So I guess I've said a mouthful. There are quite a few standards. But the good news, though, is I think we have a much better handle on the set of them. We have good progress on the key enabling ones. And I think that we will have, over the next 2 or 3 years, a set of standards that really provide the blueprint for making systems far more manageable.
Can you offer any advices to the open source community? Do you think that they can play a significant contributing factor in this area?
You know, I am an ardent supporter of open source. I think it has been a tremendous contributor and continue to be a very important factor. And today, many commercial products ship with open source components. There are many significant open source efforts. One example is Aperi, to which IBM contributes, which is a open source vehicle for storage management enablement. You know, certain functions start to commoditize over time, like basic instrumentation, and we expect these to become available as open source, and we'll support them with our own contributions. One thing you have to recognize, and you know, you certainly heard me very strongly support standards, but the fact is standards often fail because multiple teams can interpret the same specification differently. So having a reference implementation released as open source can speed up interoperability. And so increasingly in the areas that we're working on standards, we're building reference implementations and in many cases making that available in open source.
I would like to conclude with the last question, which is probably most forward-looking. Where do you think and what do you think we can expect from academia? Which are the hard research questions that industry expects from academia to explore in the next decade? And what do you think are the experiences that we can offer to them?
Well, you know, I like the way you phrased the question because I think it's important for academia to focus on the really hard questions. We don't need them to go build things that industry can easily build on its own. Where academia has helped us make significant progress is in the areas with large quantities of unknowns. You know, things like artificial intelligence algorithms and developing relational models, taking better advantage of queuing strategies are all examples. And I would expect that as we team with academia, and we've been doing that, on difficult topics like how to make problem determination more predictive and how to handle continuous operations and high availability. The emerging focus on power management, I think, offers some very exciting opportunities where the kinds of skills in academia can contribute. I think that there are a number of very difficult issues in terms of how all of the competing resources in complex IT environments can work with each other, and how you optimize, provide security, and provide robustness in that kind of an environment is very, very important. And that relates to intelligent agent technology, how they can improve their behavior over time by learning from the environment. So that gets into topics like machine learning and artificial intelligence. I could go on with a long list. The last one I'll highlight, though, I think is in user interface technologies. I think many of the major changes and transformations of our industry have had at the forefront a user interface paradigm change. And I think academia is a place where the kind of experimentation can go on to see, well, what is the next wave of a user interface that we then in industry can adapt to commercial applications.
Alan, thank you very much for very insightful answers.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I enjoyed our discussion.
I hope you have enjoyed the topic of service management. In the next installment of the series of interviews, we will be talking about Web 2.0. We will try to bring you some of the most exciting companies in this new area.